how beautiful are you, Lord, 'cause it's your words and it's your love. Oh, how glorious are you, Lord, and it's your power and it's your cross,
yeah,
that saved me and rescued me. Just a moment there set me free. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. Jesus, I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. And oh, how beautiful are you, Lord, and it's your words,
it's your words,
it's your love. And oh, how glorious are you, Lord, and it's your power and it's your cross that saved me and rescued me. Just a moment there set me free. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. Jesus, I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. Jesus. And with the crown of thorns, you became a king forever. And with the crown of thorns, you became...
Come on, let's sing it out.
You became a king forever. And with the crown of thorns, you became a king forever. That saved me and rescued me. Just a moment there set me free. That saved me.
Come on.
Just a moment there set me free.
Hey,
and Tato and Gloria, Gloria. And Tato and Gloria, Gloria. And Tato and Gloria, Gloria. And Hati Jesus. And Tato and Gloria, Gloria. And Tato and Gloria, Gloria. And Tato and Gloria, Gloria. Jesus, we give glory. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. Jesus, I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. Jesus.
Well, let's give him a hand clap of praise. We thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Welcome, morning, First Assembly. Happy 2017. We get to begin the whole process of every time you write a check or fill out a form, you automatically write 16 and have to scratch it out because you finally got used to writing 16. Now it's 2017. It is new. It is here. It is upon us, and I'm excited for 2017. I love change. I love when something ends, and I love new beginnings. And that's what God has given us, new beginnings, clean slate for 2017. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you because you are worthy And God, we just want to start this new year. I know a lot of folks were up late last night saying goodbye to the last year, saying goodbye to 2016. And God, maybe they didn't make it today. And I bless them, Lord. Give them good rest and good sleep. And Lord Jesus, I pray you will bless those who woke up early and came to the house of the Lord, because we want to start this year in your presence. We want to start this year, Lord God, corporately worshiping you, corporately hearing your word, and then saying, God, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be obedient this year, to live out what you say we can do, to be who you say we are. And we're going to give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. A couple of things I want to point out before we get too far is on January the 15th, our women's ministries are having a women's workshop, Stir Up the Gift of God, which is in you. And Elder William Braxton is going to be teaching that. It's going to be held in our common grounds. It's going to be a great, great opportunity. Information's in your bulletin. Information's on the website. Please make sure you check that out. I know that you'll be blessed by it. Also, I want to introduce you to our theme, 2017 theme. It's called Enter In. And we're going to talk more about that today and kind of lay out what that means, what that looks like. Not this Sunday, not today, but next Sunday, we are starting our Daniel fast, 21-day Daniel fast. And I want to encourage you to be a part of that with us this year. I wonder if you've never done that before. I know everybody looks at me like, oh, man, that's all right. I like it. I enjoy it. Hey, man, I think there's something to starting the year focused and intense with God. And so here's what we always say, and I always say this. Some do the complete Daniel fast. Some are not able to do that. Some, due to medications and various things, have to have some food. But I want to encourage you for 21 days to fast something. Now, I have to be clear when I say that, because some people say, I'll fast liver or I'll fast homework. That's not exactly the way that works. It's not supposed to be that. But maybe you want to fast social media. Maybe you want to fast TV. Maybe you want to fast sugar, you know. I don't know. Typically, when they talk about a fast, it has to do with food, has to do with dietary issues. But I would just encourage you, pray about that. If you have any kind of medical condition, please talk to your doctor. If you say you're going to do this, I do. I'm diabetic, and I deal with that. And so I know it creates a unique challenge when you're fasting and not getting the intake and all the stuff. So use wisdom to it. Please don't stop taking your medications and do stuff like that. So be wise about it. But we want to invite you to be a part of that. We're going to start it on a Sunday after service. We're going to end it 21 days later on a Sunday after service. And we're going to see God do great things. Amen? Beautiful. A lot of things coming up. Wednesday night groups, divorce care, helping hands, pathway to healing, missions committee meeting, missions trip to Swaziland, trip meeting coming up, Christmas undecorating party next Sunday after service. One Life is having like a missions trip and an upcoming event, kind of informational meeting. I want to encourage you to come be a part of that if you're a young person who wants to go on the missions trip, or you want to find out kind of what the layout of the year is for our youth. And what the ticket items and costs and things, so you can plan and better prepare. Please come be a part of that meeting. Marriage groups, men's groups, singles groups, women's groups, meetings. One Life Student Ministries having their winter retreat January. See Pastor Chris about that. So there's a lot of things going on. I don't want you to miss them. And you can also contact the office, check out our Facebook page, or you can check out our website, or you can check out our app. And all that information is on there as well. Amen? Are y'all awake? How many of y'all went to bed early last night? Smart, smart people. Yes, smart people. Now, we had a watch night prayer service here. It was probably one of our best ones. It was the best attended we've ever had. The testimonies were absolutely fantastic. I was very, very blessed. And got home, and I'm the kind of person that kind of when I'm up and I'm rolling, I need time to decompress. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, I can't just flip the switch and fall asleep. I just have to sit there until I get tired, kind of a thing. And so I got in bed a little late last night. An alarm went off this morning. And I thought, man, if I didn't love Jesus. Oh, if I didn't love Jesus. But I do. And we're here. And I'm glad that you're here with us. Let's all stand to our feet. And if you would, reach over and take the hand of the person that you're standing beside. And even as I pray for you, if you will pray for them. And ask the Lord to meet with them. Ask the Lord to touch them. Hallelujah. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus, this brand new year, the first day in it, Father, we want to start it with you. God, we want to start it in your presence, Jesus. We want to start it, Father, just this clean slate. We just want to start this year fresh and new, Lord God, shaking off the old, letting go what is behind us, walking beyond the past and what last year held. If it was great, Father, it's still gone. We're facing a new year, Lord Jesus, and we're looking for you to be awesome and great and wonderful and provider and our Jehovah. God, if it was a challenging year and a hard year, we've got a whole new year ahead of us. And Father, I just pray that you will help us this year to enter into your presence, to enter into what you're doing, to enter in, Lord God, and not sit back and make excuses and not sit back and always feel like we're just out of reach. Father, you have given us the keys. You have given us the keys. So, Father, may we open the doors that have been closed to us. May we walk into places, Lord God, that we've been out of before. Because you have blessed us, empowered us, and strengthened us, Lord God. We thank you, the First Assembly, that this is our 100-year anniversary year. We're not just going to celebrate a day, God. We're going to celebrate for the year, 100 years of your faithfulness. We thank you for those that have gone before us, God. We thank you for those who have helped lay the groundwork and physically built buildings and done these things, God. And we celebrate those things and we honor those things. But Father, we cannot live looking back. We're looking forward to the next 100 years. And Father, we're saying, help us, Lord Jesus, to lay the groundwork for folks who will come after us. Help us, Lord God, to physically put our hands to build, to physically, Lord Jesus, to engage and to be a part of what you are doing right now in this day, in this moment, as we enter in, so that down the road, someone will look back and say, thank God they were faithful. Thank God they served. Thank God they sacrificed. Thank God they were open to what God desired them to be. Because Father, we are all part of your church. So, Father, move in us today. Set the tone of our lives, our hearts today, as we worship you and as we get into your word. May we honor you with all we say and do. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. Put your arms out like this. Find somebody, fits in between them, and give them a big hug this morning.
Amen. Stand with me this morning. Let's worship the Lord together. And praise His holy name this beautiful new year.
And we are here for you. And let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your light. Cause we are here for you. Yes, we are. We are here for you. To you our hearts. To you our hearts are open. Your fire fall down. Let our shouts be your anthem. And your renown fill the skies. Cause we are here for you. Yes, we are here for you. Your fire fall down. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. And you alone are holy. Holy you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down. In this place. welcome in this place today. You're welcomed here. We welcome you, Jesus. Come fill our hearts. Oh, come do what you want. Holy Spirit.
All these pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, bended and whole, empty-handed but not forsaken. Set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel. The world to see your light in me. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves. Before we go into this last song, this is the start of a brand new year. And I know that 2016 may have been a perfect year for some, and it's been a trying year for others, but that's all behind us. Today's a brand new day where you can begin with God to write a new chapter, a new story. And it's an opportunity that actually is available to you every single day. But because of the way our humanness is, it takes us to turn the year of a calendar to recognize it. But this morning as we sing, It Is Well, there are some things that you might have in your heart that God just hasn't quite answered, or your prayer from 2016. You haven't quite seen God come through yet. There may be some other things that you're waiting on. There may be some things that you're just rejoicing in. Give God the glory for that. Take a moment and reflect. Take a moment and look forward. But make sure that God's the center of all of it. And hang on and wait and rejoice and give Him glory for everything this morning.
When the earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of His voice, and seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. And through it all, through it all, my eyes are on You. And through it all, it is well. And through it all, my eyes are on You. And it is well with me. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see, that this mountain that's in front of me can be thrown into the midst of the sea. And through it all, my
it is
In control. We thank you that we worship a God that is all powerful. We worship a God that is more than able. We worship a God who is large and yet a God who is with us as our Emmanuel. You're in the midst of it with us, God. We give you praise for that. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. God, thank you for your willingness to walk with us when, God, there's days that we are great and we're walking it strong, and there's days we stumble over the most foolish of things. And yet your love is unending, and your faith, Lord God, your grace to us is just continues to be extended because you lift us, you set us on the feet, and you say, enter in, walk with me, walk with me. So, Father, this year, as the pastor of the church, I say yes, God. We say yes. And we want to go with you. And so give us strength, I pray. Give us faith. Help us to step out, to be what you say that we are, fully and completely. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's thank him one more time. God is good. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. We're going to continue with our worship, tithes and offerings. So we're going to have our ushers come at this time, and we're going to be able to get four of you. We're excited about tithe and offering right there. That's awesome. And anyway, we know that this is what the word teaches. We're to give a 10% of our income plus our offerings. We read that in God's word. God says, test me in this. It's one of the few places that he says that. And so we want to honor that. We want to honor his word. We honor God in doing that. When you honor God, God will honor you, and you will see the faithfulness of God in your life. I believe that with all of my heart. I say this throughout the year, and I'll say it on the first day of the year, that if you are not currently tithing, I want to challenge you to begin to tithe. And if in a month or so you find yourself in a worse financial situation, you bring me your receipts and I'll give you your tithe money back. I believe with all of my heart that God's word is true and that God will honor us when we honor his word. And so I challenge you to do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to give. You have given so much. We just celebrated Christmas where you loved us so much that you gave us your son and put him in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, Lord. And I just thank you for your heart that has always been generous to your people. So God, may our hearts be generous with you. May we give you what you call for. May we give you and honor the word of God in our life and see the blessings of God in our life. And we give you praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Welcome to First Assembly.
We are so excited that you are here and can be a part of our 2017 theme, Enter In.
Si usted requiere traducción, tenemos audífonos en el vestíbulo.
We would like for you to take a moment to see some of our upcoming events. There will be a Helping Hands Outreach on Tuesday, January the 3rd at 9:30 a.m. in room 206. And on Saturday, January the 7th, there will be a Missions Committee meeting at 9 a.m. in Common Grounds Cafe. And also on January the 7th, there will be a Swaziland Missions Trip meeting at 11 a.m. also in Common Grounds Cafe. On January the 8th, there will be a One Life Parents meeting to discuss missions trips and upcoming events right after service in room 207. There will be a Christmas undecorating party on Sunday, January the 8th, after service meeting in Common Grounds Cafe. And on January the 15th, there will be a women's ministry workshop for only $4 per person in Common Grounds Cafe, taught by Elder William Braxton. We would love to invite you to join First Assembly in our 21 Days of Fasting and Prayer Daniel Fast, starting on January the 8th through the 29th. If you are a One Life student, don't forget to sign up for Winter Retreat. For more info, see Pastor Chris. If you have testimonies of what God's doing in your life through the ministry of First Assembly, we would love to hear about it. Just send your story to amen@firstassembly.org. We would like for you to take a moment to see some of our church safety reminders. And if you have any questions about our safety reminders, please be sure to contact the church office. If you're on any social media, be sure to connect with us. For dates, events, and information, follow us on Facebook. Or, if you're on Twitter, you can follow us at @first_assembly. If you take a picture and want to tag us in it, follow us on Instagram. And you can always visit us online at firstassembly.org. And be sure to download our church app. Because we always want to keep you informed. On the lower level, there's a nursery that provides child care and age-appropriate lessons. For more info, please be sure to see Brandy Jeter. Also, a reminder to please silence all cell phones and bring your little ones to the lobby as needed. If you are a first-time guest, we would love to meet with you today, right after service in the new First Assembly Connection Center. Also, don't forget to pick up a welcome packet from one of the ushers. Thank you for watching. We hope you can be here for next week's edition of First AG TV.
Beautiful. Again, please make sure you read through your bulletin. A lot of things going on. If you're a guest with us today, I want to say thank you for coming. Thank you for getting up this morning and looking and desiring to be in the house of God. And we don't take that lightly. And after service, we would love to meet you. We'd love to say hello and shake a hand. And right out of this door to our right, our guest connection service, we'd love to meet you right there. I promise not to keep you too long and have a little gift for you I think you'll like. If you like drinking coffee and you like cups, don't tell anyone, it's a surprise. But we'd love to take a moment and say hello and meet you there. It is hard to believe it's 2017. Last year went so quick. It was so quick. It's such an amazing thing. Another year has come and gone, and I find that the older I get, the more reflective and sentimental I become. You watch your kids grow up more and step out more on their own, and you celebrate it because it's good and healthy and natural, and it's what it ought to be, and you mourn it a little bit because they're not your little kids anymore, and you have that dynamic going on. You kind of look at your life, or I do, and I kind of give myself a review of, you know, Wes, are you who you're supposed to be? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? You know, do you have joy? You know, do you love where you're at? Do you love what's going on? And I think it's a great time of year to be very reflective. I think it's a great time of year, because something is ending and something new is starting, to look at your life and say, hey, last year I didn't like this and this and this, and so I'm going to stop that. And I'm going to start something new. I believe that's why God gives us things like this, gives us moments like this. I think that's why God gives us different seasons, because you and I as humans, we kind of get in a rut. We get in a way of thinking and a way of acting, and we tend to just stay in that motion until something comes and knocks us out of it. And so God gives us new years. God gives us the change of seasons. God gives us new starts in life as we go for us to make those changes and adjust so that we can continue to become who God wants us to be. Don't you thank God for new years? I'm excited about new years, and I want to encourage, I hope that you have all, if you haven't yet, you're going to take some time and write down some goals. I'm not a huge believer in New Year's resolutions because I don't think people keep them. Usually by the end of the month, it's like 86% of them are done. So I don't think you need to kind of go there. But I do think it's a great idea to kind of look at your life and set a couple of goals for the year. This year, this is something I really want to focus on. This year, this is some that area of my life I want to grow in. This year, I want to be more outgoing. I want to be more social, or I want to be more focused on study. Pick a couple of things and kind of establish them in your life and set them up as goals, because I think it's important for us to do that as an individual. I think it's important for us to do that as a family. I think it's important for us to do that as a church. And so as I was kind of processing through the 2016 coming to an end and looking at 2017, I kind of take my time when I pick themes, because I really want to believe that I've heard from the Lord on that. And I know it can be frustrating for the front office because they're always saying, hey, what's our theme? What's our theme? We got to get this done and that done. And I always say, Becky, listen, when I hear it, I'll give it to you. But I'm just not going to make something up. I'm just not going to find something that sounds good but isn't what I really feel God is whispering, you know. And so as we were looking and listening for what I felt like the Lord was saying to me as I looked at 2017, and I really felt like the Lord said the year of 2017 is the year that you and I as individuals and as a church corporately were going to enter in. And that's the theme this year, enter in. And I just kind of had this picture in my head of a door with keys in it, and God, us too often saying, as soon as God opens that door, I'm going. And God saying, I've given you the keys to open the door. I'm waiting on you. And I felt like this year God has kind of been saying that. That's what the voice that I kind of keep hearing and just kind of stirring within me is it's time for us to move in the authority that God has given us. As a people, as a church, as individuals, as families, giving you the keys to unlock the doors and to move forward. Let's pray. Father, be with us today as we look at Enter In. Be with us today as we start this series. Be with us, Lord God. Let your word become alive to us, God. It is not just ink on page. This is the living word of God. It is the bread of life. And may we eat well today, I pray. In your name, amen and amen. Listen, I really want to encourage you to be a part of our Daniel fast. Pick a couple of things to pray about. Pick some things to process out in your heart and process out through your life to really seek the face of the Lord about in your life this coming year. Here's the thing. It can be a very frustrating thing when you see where you want to be, but you can't get to it because the door is locked. I'm 46 years old, and my wife will tell you, I hate locked doors. I did not grow up with locked doors. I grew up in Southern Virginia. We never locked our door. We would go on vacation, not lock our door. I remember when we started locking our door as a child growing up. We were on vacation. We'd been gone for like a week. We came back home, and we came to the house. We opened the door, and there were footprints that went in our home to the phone. And someone had apparently needed to use the phone. Knocked on the door, hello, hello, no one was there, went in, used our phone, and then left. And I can remember my mom saying, we probably ought to start locking the door. Now, my wife was very different. My wife grew up in Buffalo, New York. She's not a Bills fan, so I felt safe to marry her. And they locked their door all the time, every day, night and day. And when we first got married, it was kind of a funny thing because I'm so used to open doors. I'm so used to coming in and going out, and she's so used to anytime the door is open, the door is closed, the door is locked. And I kid you not, there were times I would wheel the trash out to the driveway and I would put it and I would come back to the house and, boom, you know, and I'm like, boom, 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 and she, who is it? I said, who are you expecting? Who are you expecting? You know, at first time it's like, oh, just force a habit. After a while, I'm like, babe, I'm really starting to develop a complex. Every time I leave the house, you're locking the door, you know. But it can be very frustrating when you aren't able to get to where you want to be because the door is locked. If you've ever locked yourself out of a house and had to call someone who had a key and you're waiting on them to get there, or you're trying to remember, where did I hide the key outside of the house? You know, I hid it good so that it would be safe, but I made it so safe that I don't remember where I hid it. And you had to wait for someone else to get home or run you a key or something. You ever locked yourself out of a car? You know, you leave it in the ignition to get out, close the door. You're like, oh, you big dummy, you know, and you see the key. You see it right there. You just can't get to it because the door's locked. And now someone's got to get you in. Or, you know, I've shown up at work before and have forgotten my keys. And I'm, hey, Becky, can you let me in my office? You know, hey, I need to run over to the other building. Can I borrow your keys? It's a hassle. It's a pain when you don't have the keys to get to where you need to be and you desire to be. It can be such a frustrating thing. My wife and I have a mutual friend who one day was out running around with Stephanie. She had, this was back when the keyless entry was kind of a new thing. And they were out at the mall and they were shopping and they walked out of the mall and our dear sister kind of took and he hit the key to unlock and her battery had gone dead. And she was freaking out because she said, I don't know how I'm going to get in the car now. And Stephanie said, you know, the key still works. And I was like, oh. See, we get so used to things being easy. And we think that just because God wants something, it's going to be easy. And if it's not easy or simple, then it must not be God. And I just want to say this morning, kind of as I get everybody together, I want to say this morning, that, listen, the keys still work. The keys still work. And what a joy it is to be able to walk up to the door of your home and use the key and enter in. To walk out to your car, put the key in the ignition and have the car start and be able get to where you're wanting to go, to use the key to get into your office, to know that you have them, they're in your possession, that you just need to take them out, find the door that's locked, find the key that fits it, stick it in, turn it, you hear that click, and you know, I'm in, baby. It's a joy to be able to do that. And in Matthew 16, we find this chapter, Matthew 16, 19 is our text. We're going to kind of talk a little bit about, lay some groundwork. So there's this complex chapter because there's so much that's going on. People are demanding a sign of Jesus, and Jesus is kind of talking with folks saying, guys, you're missing the point. You're just wanting a show. And they say, he warns the disciples about the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so they're always trying to figure Jesus out. And I love this because he's like, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the one of them looks at the other and says, did you bring the bread? They think he's talking about bread and get to an argument about who was supposed to bring the bread. And Jesus kind of steps in and says, guys, you're missing the whole point. He challenges them about their small faith and he helps them to understand what I'm talking about the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees is their deceptive teachings because what they've done to the true word of God, because they've made it religion and they've made it rules and they've made it exclusive and they've not made it open to all men. And that is not the heart of God. They look spiritual. They act spiritual, but they do not have the heart of God. And don't fall for that. It's not how you look out here. It's who you are in here. And then Jesus challenges all of them. And he says, who do you say that I am? And they're all giving their answers. And, oh, some say Elijah. Some say John the Baptist. And then Peter. You've got to root for Peter. Peter tries. He really does. And you've got to root for Peter. Peter just pipes up. And this time, man, Peter just gets it right. Peter hits the nail right on the head and he just says, Matthew 16, 16. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus not just smiles on his face, but Jesus' heart smiles. Jesus is so excited because he says, Peter, this isn't something that you've learned from man, but this is something that has been revealed to you by my Father in heaven. And then Jesus makes a statement that I think people misunderstand some. And we're going to look at it a little bit this morning. He says, Matthew 16, 18, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or hell, will not overcome it. Now, Peter means rock. That's the definition of that. But Jesus is not saying that on the person of Peter, he's going to build the whole church. That's not what he's saying. Because just a few scriptures later, Jesus tells the disciples, I'm going to go into Jerusalem and I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to die. And that's not what they were planning. That's not what they had in their mind. They had Jesus going in, overthrowing the place, being the king. And they were going to be in powers of authority and positions of authority. And everything was going to be great. Not you going to Jerusalem and lay your life down and get crucified and die. And Peter, I love this, stands up and says, I won't let this happen. And this is Jesus' response to him to verse 23. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Well, that's not very nice. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, and you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Now, when Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, the rock that he was talking about was the statement of Peter, not so much the person of Peter. The statement that the church is built upon is this: you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That is the rock of the church. Jesus is the rock of the church. Now, he did do something when he gave Peter the keys. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, because God used Peter in a powerful way in the beginning of the church. It was Peter who, on the day of Pentecost, when the crowds thought that they were all drunk, when the Holy Spirit fell, Peter who stepped up and stepped out and spoke, and over 3,000 were saved in Acts chapter 2. It was also in the early times of the church, when the church was being formed, it was Peter who helped stabilize it. It was Peter who helped keep it in unity and to make sure that it didn't fray out to other, you know, broke down pieces, but he kept it focused on what God had given them. God used Peter to keep the unity of the church. It was Peter who went and opened the door of the gospel to the Gentiles, which caused quite a stir. You can read about that in Acts chapter 10. Peter's on the rooftop of Simon the Tanner, which is a miracle in itself, because a good Jewish person wouldn't hang around a place that had dead bodies, and Simon was a tanner. You know what a tanner does? Google it. He's up on the rooftop and he's there, and God gives him a vision of this tarp coming down and the vision of animals and things that Peter as a Jew was not to eat, and they were unclean to him, and the voice told him to eat. In Acts 10, 14 and 15, it says this: surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. And the voice spoke to him a second time: do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And immediately there's a knock on the door, and it's men who have come from Cornelius, a Gentile who had been sent his men to get Jesus and ask him to come to his home. And he says in Acts 10:33, so I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. And now we are here in the presence of God to listen to everything that the Lord has commanded you to tell us. God's dealing with Peter over here. God's dealing with Cornelius over here. Cornelius sends some men. They get there just in time when Peter's had a vision from God, and God shows him clean things and unclean things. Symbolic of, whatever I say is pure is pure. Whatever I say is unclean is unclean. He shows him the vision, lets him know, I'm going to send you to things. Don't hold back, Peter. Just listen and just obey. Peter says, nope, not going to do it, God. God and Peter have a little dialogue. Peter says, I get it. There's a knock, comes to the door, and he's called to go to a Gentile nation and speak to Gentile people in their home. God used Peter to open the door of the gospel. It's an amazing thing when you start reading about it. He used him in a powerful way. And we're going to look at this over the next couple of weeks. But here's the thing. The statement that Jesus made to Peter was also made to every other disciple that was there. So this is not just for Peter and we go, man, what a lucky guy. This is for every disciple that was there. This is for every disciple who comes from the lineage of all of that, all the way down to you and all the way down to me. This next verse is for us all. Matthew 16:19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I want you to look at a neighbor and say, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Look at your other neighbor and say, whatever you loose on earth We'll be loosed in heaven. Listen, I want you to understand this morning, the keys still work. The keys still work. That is what we do and say and how we live here on earth and have spiritual and eternal impact. And listen to me, it matters. You today, this morning, are a keeper of the key. That's what we are. God has bestowed these upon you. God has given these upon you. God has given these to you. We are keepers of the keys. And you can trace the lineage of Matthew 16, 19, and you can find that it trails all the way back to every person who knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They have been given the keys that God has blessed us. Someone opened the door of the gospel to you. You were at one time in your life closed off. You were at one time in your life behind a door, not interested, didn't know you were lost, didn't know you weren't saved, didn't know that there was a God that loved you, cared for you. But somebody came and they had them in their pocket. You know what they had? They had keys. And they came up to the door of your life, the door of your heart, and they started working through. Nope, not this one. They knocked. Who is it? I just want to tell you about Jesus. Not interested. Hold on, I'll let myself in. Right? Hear the jing. Also, the door opens, and they opened your life to the gospel. The keys still work, and His presence. When we usher into His presence, in that moment of salvation, His presence, we are filled by Him, and we are given the key to open the door to someone else. And the opposite is true as well. Whatever's bound on earth by sin is bound in heaven. But guess what? God has given us the keys to see people set free. Your life matters. And the way that we live our lives matter. Because the way that we live our lives makes a difference in the loosening and the binding of other people. As a parent in your home, what you say yes to and what you say no to. You see, you are a keeper of the keys for your children. As a friend, you know how to live and encourage, or don't make, how you live and how you encourage makes a difference in the lives of those that are around you. And if you have friends that are bound, you have people who are struggling, you have the key to their freedom. In your personal life, the things that have held you back or slowed you down before, you don't have to be bound to anymore. Why? Because God has given you the keys to loosen and to bind on earth and have it loosened or bound in heaven. When God gives you the keys of the gospel, He gives you all that is in the gospel. All right? What we're going to look at in the next couple of weeks, a lot of that verse is based on the sharing of the gospel throughout the world. The people who went out and brought truth, and they unlocked the door to the Gentiles, and they unlocked the door to the Samaritans, and they unlocked the door to all of the different people groups, and God sent people all over the place. That verse really is grounded in evangelism. But there's a big part of this, an element of this, that when God says, listen, when I give you the keys, when I give you the keys to the gospel, and you open it, and you unlock it, and you step into it, you are getting all of the gospel. And do you know that in the gospel there's spiritual authority? And when you open the door, you get that. From God to your life. Some of you live lives that the devil's been messing with you. Anybody ever felt messed with by the devil? Anybody ever felt like the devil, he just picks on you? As soon as you get out of one thing, you go into the next thing. You've been praying, you've been fasting, you've been believing for something to break, for a door to open, but it doesn't ever seem to work, and it's not seeming to click, and it's not seeming to go. And you just say, man, there's spiritual battles going on, there's spiritual warfare going on, but God in the gospel has given me spiritual authority. And what happens, though, is if we don't take the keys and unlock the door and say, you know what, devil, I know who I am in God, I know who I am in Christ, and I know who God is, and God's given me the key to unlock the door, and you can't keep the door closed if God wants the door open, and we step into it, we end up normalizing things, we end up just adjusting our lives to the struggle, to the battle, we take it, we normalize it so that it doesn't feel weird, it doesn't feel bad, and we just live our life with the baggage. You've adjusted your influence to it, you've adjusted your impact to it, you've adjusted your dreams to it. Oh, I used to dream of doing this, but now I can't because of that. We adjust our love to it, our hope to it. We adjust our marriages to it. We adjust our finances to it. We adjust our lives to it when God says, I have given you the key. And when I have given you the key, I have given you the gospel, and I have given you all that is in the gospel, and you have spiritual authority that you are not walking in. When I was very young, and I say this very young, I don't know, 10, 11, my older brother and his wife were having their first baby, and she had just a horrific labor. She was in labor like 19 hours or something like that. It was terrible. It was terrible. And this was back in the day when, you know, somebody went into labor and you got the phone call. Everybody piled in the car and went to the hospital. I don't know why. But you go to the hospital and you're there until the baby's born. Well, we're there all night. And I, those of you who know me well, you know, I am not a good bored person. I get in trouble when I get bored, and some things you don't outgrow. And at the hospital, they're all in the waiting room, and I can only sit in the room for so long. And I'm kind of out walking the halls in the hospital, and I came upon one of those doors where they kind of walk up to them, and they open for you, they close for you. Well, I figured out how to turn it off. And so, yeah, there was a little switch, and I switched off. And then I went down the hall, and I would just sit there, and I would just watch. And literally, there were people who just walked right slam into the door. I mean, it's horrible. Don't do this, kids. But they're walking down the hall, and I mean, just, you know, and they would just like, look, like, what just happened? What just happened? Then there were people who'd come, and they're talking, they'd stop, and they'd do the wave in front of the sensor thing. And then there were more A-type personality who would come, and they'd get there. And as soon as they see it didn't work, they'd disappear in a room and they'd pop out down the hall somewhere else. They had places to go. But I learned how to shut the door off. And eventually a security guard came, and he figured he'd turn the door back on. And I gave it about a half hour, and I went down and I turned it off again. And then the security guard posted himself there. And I thought, well, I'm done for the night. But it's, I want you to understand, listen, not every door is easy to open, but every lock has a key. It's important you get this. Not every door opens easy. Listen, there may be some things that you are believing for God in your life. Things in your finances, your marriage, things about a better job, things about a calling, things about something God has just spoken to you, a loved one being saved, things that you're holding on to, and it has been tough. It's a battle. And it's not been easy. But I want to tell you something. Just because something's not easy does not mean that it's not God. It's just worth fighting for. And so if it's not easy, that doesn't change the fact that God has given you the key. And I'm telling you, every lock has a key. Every lock has a key. There's an enemy who tries to lock the door of our obedience, and he doesn't want your obedience to be easy. And I think that God wants you to know today is that, again, the keys still work. In the gospel, there's an anointing. In the gospel, there is power. There is joy unspeakable. In the gospel, there is the fruit of the Spirit. There is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. There are the gifts of the Spirit that God gives us to help us to distinguish which key goes to which lock. God gives us this discerning aspect of our lives that we draw close to Him and get into His presence. God says, I've given you the key. We say, okay, I got a bunch of keys, God, but you need the right key for the right door, don't you? God says, listen to me. Spend time with me. I'll show you the key to the door that you've not been able to open, that you've not been able to get through, that the enemy has locked you out of or locked you up in. I'll show you the key, and the key still works. This past December, early, I think first, second weekend of December, my wife and I moved into a new place, and the contract was signed, and when we signed the contract, they gave us the keys, and we just rent, but still, when you rent, you sign the contract, they gave us the keys, and in giving me the keys, what they gave me was the authority to live there. The authority to use that house, the authority to pay for the water and the electric and all that stuff that I'm using. But they gave me the authority to be there. So while they own it, and I'm now present and I have full use of it. Well, here's the thing. God gives us the keys to spiritual things, to the gospel and all that's in the gospel, that we can walk in it and use it fully. They're His, but He gives them to you with full authority. always aware that I have the keys of something that is His, and how I live and how I share it matters. So quickly this morning, really quickly this morning, this is what had to go down with Peter. One, Peter had to receive and obey. And the same is true of us today. We need the gospel and we need all that is in the gospel. Amen. Can you look at your neighbor and say, we need the gospel and all that is in the gospel. Listen, Peter had a call on his life. God had a plan for him, and Peter had to be prepared for that call. You realize that Peter had to get over prejudice? God called him. God brought him up, gave him a vision, and He showed him a tarp of things that were clean and unclean. And Peter said, nope, not doing it. I have never eaten anything that is unclean or impure. And God says, well, if you're going to walk with me, you need to understand that what I say is clean is clean. Peter had to get over some prejudice in his life. Being a good Jew, there were folks that he didn't really care for that well. There were people who traditionally they did not get along with. He had traditions that he grew up in that he had to get over to be obedient to God. God was going to call him to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, and that was not something that a good Jew would even consider. So God had to do some work in the heart of Peter to prepare him to use the keys to open the door. And there were some things that had to be worked out in the heart of Peter. When God told him to rise, kill, and eat, Peter said no. See, Peter had a standard of living that was very high, but he had to learn that his standard of living that was very high was not the heart of God. And the vision that Peter received, God was doing away with an Old Testament dietary law, because diet was one of the ways that the Jewish people separated themselves from everyone else. It was one of the ways that they looked at everybody else and said, oh, you eat that? You see, we're people of God. We don't. We're holier than you. We're more spiritual. That's why God loves us. Because you eat bacon, thank God for the New Testament. I'm serious. Thank God for the New Testament. In the vision, when the tarp came down and it had both clean and unclean, that was God's way of telling Peter, all are welcome in my kingdom. Peter had to obey. God wanted Peter to move in obedience and faith, just like He wants us to. Just like God had asked Cornelius to, that we're going to look at here in a week or two as well. Then there's the timing of God and the preparation of those in the plan, and then our obedience. And when we do these things, we see the doors open in our lives. You see, God's got to get our hearts right to step out, and God has to get their hearts right to receive. But how many know that's God's part? My part is to have the keys, to open the door, and to step out in faith with God. It's an old saying, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. You want to see Lazarus has come to life in your life, you got to roll away the stone. Don't sit back and wait for God to do everything for you when God is saying, you're a part of this. So what doors do you want to see open in 2017? Maybe that's part of what you write down today. Maybe that's part of what you go home and you look at as an individual and you look at with your family, where you look at just with close people around you that can help hold you accountable to something. What are the doors in 2017 that you want to see opened in your life? What are the areas that you have felt have been locked to you in the past? You see, we tend to wait and want God to do everything, but God is saying, I've given you the keys. And this morning, we need to receive it. We need to step in faith and obedience and open the door, and we have a role to play. And I believe that in 2017, that we're going to see bound things loosed. I believe that we are going to see lost souls saved. I believe that we're going to see doors open in our lives personally and corporately. Y'all know that in the fall, we had spent a lot of time talking about Israel, wandering in the wilderness. And we did a whole series called The Wanderers. And I know we're not done with that. We just hit the holidays, and I had to take a break because I can't have a Christmas morning service. We're talking about Israel wandering around the wilderness. I realize that. But we're going to come back to that probably after January, and we're going to finish this, because in my heart, and this is where God really started stirring that in me, that this is a year we're going to enter in like Israel entered into the promised land. And last night at our prayer service, I want to say three of the four testimonies were all about Israel. We're all about the promised land. We're all about, no one talked, no one knew what the other person was thinking and talking about. No one understood. I'm just telling you, this is what God is saying to our church. That we need to make ready. We need to get our hearts ready. We need to stop sitting back and say, well, if God opens the door, I'll go. God says, I've given you the keys. Open the door. Well, my key doesn't work with this door. Well, then you're at the wrong door. Find a door that the key works for. And note, that's where God wants me to go. You open it up and you step out in faith and you walk in authority and you walk in understanding of who God is and who you are in Christ. And you do these things. You say, God, it's not about me. It's all about you. And I know I'm nothing, but you're something. And while I look at me and I say, I can, I look at you and say, you can do all things because all things are possible to him that believe. And God, I believe today. And I've got an uncle that's going to be saved. And I got a son that's away from God. And I'm just believing that this year, God's going to bring him back home. And it might be through me. It might be through somebody else who had a key in their pocket and opened the door to his life. God has given you the keys. And your challenge is to enter in. That's your challenge this year. Is to enter into what God has. I've given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We have all that we need to enter in right now. Let's just obey. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I get you to bow your heads as we have those who are going to help serve communion this morning as you come and prepare. Listen, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you through this message? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? This morning, what are the doors that have been closed to you? What are the things that have been closed to you? And I'm telling you right now, the battle going on in our minds is simply this. We normalize everything. And there are things in your heart and things in your life that, you know what, you look at, and in the quiet of quiets, in the clearest of moments, you look at and you say, I wish this was, I want a better relationship with my spouse. I want a better relationship with my kids. I'm believing God for a better job. I'm believing God for a deeper walk with him this year. I'm believing these things. You have them there. They're real and they're true. But what happens is life and the enemy just kind of come in and we just want to normalize it all. We look at our marriages and say, well, it's better than some and it's worse than others, but we're okay. God is saying, enter in. Enter in. Don't stop there. Don't settle there. Take the keys that God has given us in the gospel and open the door. I'm glad you have a nice job and it kind of provides what you need. But in your heart, there's been a stirring for a new position or a new thing that God's going to do. And you're seeing opportunities and openings. You just kind of go, well, I don't know if it's the Lord's will. If it's the Lord's will, what? Put a resume in. Put your key in the lock and turn it. See what happens. The enemy has tricked us into thinking that stuck is just comfortable. And it's not. God has more for you. We all wander. We all do. But we do not all wander forever. And when God had accomplished in Israel what he desired to accomplish in them in the wilderness, they came to the edge of the Jordan, and God says, make ready your heart. And they stepped into the river, and the river dried up, and they crossed on dry land, and they entered into the promise of God. Not theoretically, figurative, literally. They walked into the land. Do not be content to live your life saying someday, one day, when God says it can be today. Take your key. Open the door. Open the door. What are the doors that you believe will be open in 2017? Who are you bringing the gospel to? That's really the foundation of that verse, that God, when he gave the keys to Peter, he was giving him the keys to bring it to the Gentiles. That's what was going on. Now, it's not just for Peter. Now, he told all the disciples that, and now he tells all of us that. All of us have keys to do what? To bring the gospel to someone. Who are you bringing the gospel to? We have what we need from God to step out in faith. And to open the doors. Trust God to make ready what needs to be ready. Trust for His timing. But are you ready this morning to receive and to obey? Are you ready this morning to enter in to what God has for you? In just a moment, I'm going to have our ushers release the pews. If you're sitting on the right-hand side by these windows, you'll come out by the windows. You'll come around, you'll receive your emblems, you'll go back down, you'll be seated. If you're sitting in the center section, you'll exit out of my left, come up, receive your emblems, go back, find your seat. This side by the windows, you can come circle around. I'm going to ask that everybody wait till all have been served, and I'll come and give you further instruction. Let's go ahead.
Lord, I come, I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. And you're the one that guides my heart.
My righteousness.
rise to you. And when temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I fall on you. 'Cause Jesus, you're my hope and stay. So teach my song to rise to you. When I cannot stand, and when I cannot stand, I fall on you. And Jesus, you're my hope and stay. When I cannot stand, I fall on you. 'Cause Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Are just juice and bread. They're symbolic. They don't become anything once we ingest them. There's none of that that goes on. But they're symbolic of the blood of Jesus that was shed for you and the body of Christ that was broken for you. And in Corinthians, he tells us, he says, the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he passed it out and he said, this is my body which is broken for you. The importance of the brokenness is so critical here. Because if we were whole, we wouldn't need it. We're not. All of us are broken. All of us have stumbled. All of us have fallen short. All of us have doors in our lives that are closed. But he says, because my body was broken, I fit into your brokenness. And I fit into the places and the areas of your lives that aren't working. And they don't flow right. And they're not functioning the way they were designed to function. And he says, I can get in there and I can fix that. I can get in there, I can heal that. I can get in there and bring wholeness. I can get in there and bring completion. I can get in there and I can bring the restoration. But it's just like everything else in Scripture. There's what he can do. There's us who needs it, but we have to receive it. And so that night they took and received the bread. They took and they ate it. And in doing so, what they're saying is, God, we're giving you permission to all of us. To all of us. Sometimes the brokenness in our lives are very apparent. Sometimes the broken things in our lives are very hidden. They're often behind locked doors. But God says, if you will let me in, if you will open up the door to me, I will be fully God to you. And so this morning, let's let him in. Let's start the new year, clean slate. Everything. Let's take and let's receive. It says, in the same manner, he took a cup and he said, this is my blood that is shed for you. We know that Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. In the Old Testament, there were sacrifices that had to happen, blood that had to be shed, atone, but Jesus was that lamb. Jesus was that sacrifice for us. That this morning, this juice reminds me the debt has been paid. I have been freed. I do not have to live bound anymore. And if I do, it is by my choice, not by its power over me. Because God has freed you. So as we take and we receive the juice today, we're receiving freedom. Freedom to become, freedom to dream, freedom to look at our life and say, hey, there's some things that shouldn't be normal. I've normalized this thing in my life, but you know what? That's not of God. That's held me back. That's not normal. I don't have to be bound to that. I can step out. I can open the door and step into something new and fresh and walk out with Him and grow with Him and go deeper with Him and become everything that God says I can be. That's the power of the blood to us. So let's take and let's receive. Hallelujah. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to close and I'm going to have Dustin lead us in a song again. And I want to invite you. I want to invite you to come to the altar. I want to invite you to come. I don't know what the closed doors have been to you. Maybe you've got unsaved family. Maybe you're looking for a job. Maybe it's better relationships in marriage or with friends or with kids or what. I don't know what the door has been to you that has seemed locked. But I want to invite you to come and to spend some time in prayer. And we would love to come alongside of you and agree with you and believe that, one, God has given us the keys. And that we loosen here. How do we loosen here? We're going to get more into this. By the way I live and by the destination of my heart. How I believe. How I function. The actions of our hands. The attitudes of our hearts. Are what we are so critical. So critical. But we can start the process today of taking the keys and believing for those doors to be unlocked. If you need to go, I bless you. I thank you again for coming. You're a guest with us again. Please take some time. Stop in our guest connections. We'd love to meet you there and say hello. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And we thank you, Jesus. Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything. 2016 has come, and it is time to let it go. It is time to let it go. And so, Father, we release it. And, Father, as we turn and we face 2017, we do so facing it with you. We do so facing it, Lord Jesus, knowing that when you have given us the keys, you have given us the gospel, and you have given us everything in the gospel. And so, Father, we receive it. We pray the prayer of Peter. We receive what you're trying to do into our hearts. And so, God, whatever you show us to do, we're going to step into it. We may not feel like we're enough. Well, we're going to rely on you. We're going to have to rely on you this year. But Father, we're going to trust you and we're going to step into it. And we're going to say, let our eyes be your eyes and let our hands be your hands. Use us for the kingdom, Lord God. And I pray that you will help the keys that you have given us unlock the doors that have been closed to us in the past. That we'll be able to open them up and enter in. That we'll see family members saved, lost loved ones saved, Lord God. That we're going to see marriages strengthened. We're going to see finances, Lord God, strengthened and breakthrough come and blessing happen in a way that, God, we look and we go, this is God, and we know that it's you. We celebrate that. Let 2017 be a year, Father, that we enter in. That we enter in. Thank you for loving us, because there's nobody like you. In Jesus' name we pray and we believe. And everybody said, amen. May God bless you. May He keep you. May His face always shine upon you. You guys have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless.